This is a recording of Home Innovations for Sunday, February 11th, 2007. You can listen to Home Innovations every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon here on 630 WMAO. 630 WMAO on demand is brought to you by Cabinet Discounters.
Cabinet Discounters has the kitchen that you're dreaming of.
Visit CabinetDiscounters.com or call us at 1-800-THE-DREAM. That's 1-800-THE-DREAM.
Cabinet Discounters. Cabinet Discounters. Cabinet Discounters.
Welcome back, everybody, to Home Innovations. And I am indeed Elaine Mick and Don McAndrews. How are you this
morning,
dear?
Good morning, Elaine. Great.
Hey, do I look like I have a tan?
Cold. No, you don't.
I just got back from Florida. What do you mean? Of course, most of the time is spent indoors when you're going to the Builder Show. But at least it was beautiful weather, and I felt for you guys. I left Tuesday morning to go down to Orlando, and it was 9 degrees at the Baltimore, Washington airport. So.
Well, I was at a little convention over the weekend here in Washington, and some guys had come down from Canada, and they said they came down to get warm. And I'm going, okay.
Wrong place. Well, you know, I wanted to introduce our guests really quickly because they've got a wonderful story to tell. And it has to do with the fact that I met them, of course, the Builder Show, but they are the ones that took and did all the work on the Renewed American Home. Now, the Renewed American Home, I'm not going to tell you much more than this is the first time they've actually had a remodeled, I will put it that way, home actually on display where we all could take it and go through it. So that's kind of a firstie. So my guest today happened to be part of PSG Construction, Inc., and the P stands for Paul Guidus. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Elaine.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine.
Are you rested?
Yes, I am.
I told you you could sleep in this morning. Remember you said it would be kind of neat? You didn't have to get up and be anywhere until my show?
And I did that.
Oh, well, good. And I also want to introduce your brother, who's Stephen Guidus.
Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, Stephen. Are you feeling the same way?
Absolutely. It's the longest amount of sleep I've gotten a whole week.
Well, I'm glad you didn't sit up saying, oh, man, I got to be on that show with Elaine tomorrow.
11 o'clock is much better than a 7:30 meeting.
Oh, that's for sure. I'm sure you guys have been going strong for I don't know how long, because this was quite an undertaking. I don't know who would like to do the talking. I'd like you to tell the story, because it's not just that you took this home and remodeled it. There is a lot more to the beginning that I think is just as fascinating. Paul, Steve, who wants to take the beginning story?
Steven, you go ahead. You can take it.
Okay. The Renewed American Home is part of a program called the New American Home, which always runs in conjunction with the International Builder Show. And the New American Home has been previewed at the International Builder Show now for 24 years.
Right.
And it always features a brand new home with the latest and greatest technology. In 2007, this particular year, this show, the site that the New American Home was to be built on had an old 1909 home sitting on the site.
I understand it was abandoned. It wasn't even livable.
Well, it was converted into a commercial building, and the owners of the building had closed shop in that building and decided to relocate. So it was actually abandoned.
Okay.
But the builder wanted to build the New American Home for 2007 on an infill lot in a downtown area, in downtown Orlando, but wanted that particular part of the property because it was a corner lot and it had a good view to downtown Lake Eola. But also on that lot it was actually split into three parcels, all approximately 45 to 50 feet wide by about 150 feet deep. And so it was deemed a historic home by the Orlando Historic Preservation Board. And so the builder, Homes by Carmen Dominguez, needed to move the house. If she wanted to build on that particular site.
Yeah,
and that's where we came in the picture.
But I thought it was interesting, as they originally said, yeah, go ahead and tear it down. And then the historical became hysterical and said, no, 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 you can't do that, you know. Now, had you ever moved a house before, or did someone else do this for you?
We had never moved a home
before.
Oh,
geez. Paul, you were telling me about that, that was quite an experience. I mean, you not only now have this new project in which you're going to take this home and renovate it, but you have to get it on the lot it's going to be on in order to do so.
Right. That was one of the challenges we had because we needed to move the house as quickly as possible so Karma could start building her house. And we, fortunate enough, there was a lot between where the house was going to be moved to. So we had an empty lot between the new American home and the renewed American home, so we were able to put it back in that place while she started her house, and then we were going to proceed to put ours over top of a basement. So we had it to begin the digging of the basement process.
Oh, so in other words, you put it, there's a middle lot. I remember the tent for the refreshments that evening was between the new American home and the renewed American home. That's where you put the house temporarily?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay. Now, just the idea that you put a basement into this home, the new renovated home, is kind of interesting. How did that work out?
Typically, in Florida, because of the water table, most of the homes in the Orlando area don't have basements. This house, naturally, the terrain was a little bit higher. As you remember seeing, it kind of sat on the corner and was somewhere on a hill. So we were able to, the house naturally sat on piers about 4 feet out of the ground. So when we dug the basement, we were about 5 feet in the ground with the basement. So we were high enough above the water table. And as far as precautions, we did an underground drainage system, excavating an additional 3 feet of dirt, bringing in some clean sand with drainage pipes in case the water table did rise, we would not have a wet basement.
Now, you did a poured concrete basement?
Yes, we used the Superior walls for the basement.
What does Superior walls mean? Is that a manufacturer of the structural kind of panels?
Yes, that's the manufacturer who installed the panels in place. It's a preformed concrete with insulation in place.
Right, so they're already insulated. Now you bring the house in, and now you have to go ahead, but you've already got to figure out how to add on to this house. How big is the house to begin with, Steve?
About 2,400 square feet of space, and part of that was a small addition on the back of the house, which we tore off.
Uh-huh.
And so we ended up with about 2,000 square feet of usable space or reusable space.
And then you added on, I know by the time it finished, what was it, 7,000 something? Tell the number.
About 7,100 square feet under roof, about 5,800 square feet of living space, air conditioned and heated living space.
And it's typical of some of the homes where you say living space because you want to live outside, you know, enough so that those rooms are just like rooms, true rooms, except they're not, I guess, you know, under a real roof.
Well, yes, much of the space, the 7,100 square feet, includes the front porch, the porte-cochere on the side of the house, and then the outdoor living area that is in the detached garage area or next to the detached garage area.
Now, if you, listeners, by the way, if you want to go online, you know, go to homeinnovations.com. Click on today's schedule page. You'll see our guests, and there you'll see PSG Construction. There's a link right to their website. And if you go down on the page, how do they do this? We go down on the page.
Yeah, scroll to the bottom of their front page.
And then you'll see about the Renewed American Home.
Lower left corner, you'll see it. Yeah.
Click it, and you can see before and after pictures. By the way,
I'm looking at them right now.
I know. The website's marvelous, guys. Just marvelous.
Thank you.
I thought maybe I'd see your picture in there and those as you're progressing along, but you chose not to, huh?
Well, in the About PSG Construction, I think there's a photograph of Paul and me somewhere.
Oh, okay.
There.
All right. I got to tell you, I met them, everybody. They're good looking. Of course, they're young enough to be my son, or I should say I'm old enough to be their mother, but makes no difference. Okay,
thank
so
you.
Now you take and you bring this house. As I was walking through it, we could describe what we're going to be looking at, but where did you end and where did you start the new addition? Did you have to gut everything inside and then start again? How did you do this?
We essentially sort of peeled the onion back, so to speak. When we moved the house, we tried to keep as much of it intact as we could so that it would not rack or twist. Once we set the house on top of the new basement, then we began to peel away the parts that were not usable. I did want to just mention a little bit about how we moved the house because I think that by itself I think was a big challenge. And Paul, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about that from a production standpoint. I think that was We've got a lot to do with that.
Right, like we like said earlier, we had a, we moved it to the center lot, and as we started digging the basement, we realized it was a little too close. So we had to move it a second time, more to the rear of the lot. We had to get up and prune some trees to let the house kind of shift to further to the back side of the lot. And as we dug the basement, we set the walls. One of the challenges was that we needed to get the house close enough to the walls.
Oh, wow.
And we typically you would backfill. Well, on the inside of the walls, we had to put support so we could backfill on the right-hand side of the house in order to get the house close enough to the basement.
Oh, wow.
Then set two steel girders across the house and literally rolled the house over top of the basement walls.
Oh, how many nights of lost sleep did you have?
I think our project manager, Eric Watson, probably lost the most sleep. He was watching over that every single day, and that was one of the most difficult parts of the whole process, was to pick that house up and slide it over an open hole.
But, slide it. I mean, literally slide it over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And there are pictures of that, I believe, on the website, too, in the progress photos.
Are there?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to have to click on that and see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when did you start? I mean, here we have the show. It was just this past week. When did you start this whole thing?
Well, to give you just a brief timeline of some of the highlights, the NAHB first approached us in the end of May in 2005 with the concept, the idea. Originally, just to back up a bit, typically these homes are planned 3, 4, 5 years in advance.
Right.
And the builder's show in 2007 and 2008 was supposed to be in Atlanta, Georgia, and they had already started building the show house for 2007 in Atlanta. Our show had grown so big, we have now over 105,000 attendees at the show, that the Atlanta was not big enough for the show.
I didn't know that.
Yes, so Las Vegas and Orlando, and actually Chicago, are about three of the only places that are big enough to handle the International Builders Show. There was a push from some folks to go to Chicago, and we're happy at this week. Those of you that know what the weather was like, obviously,
yeah,
when you're up north, we're happy we stayed in Orlando.
Yeah. So me too.
When all of this happened, when the location of the show was changed, and I think this was maybe 2004.
Yeah.
Immediately they needed to select a new builder for the 07 house. And so Carmen was selected. Once she found out what her challenge was with having to move the house, we were then brought onto the scene in late May of 2005. By the time we assembled our architect and our residential designer and our interior designer, it was about the first part of June 2005. We had to go through a variance with the city of Orlando on some setback issues. We had to get approval from the Orlando Historic Preservation Board. And we had to go through all of the planning of developing the plans for the additions and renovations and so forth. So by the time we actually began to dig and install the basement walls, it was the end of January.
Oh, man.
And then the house itself was set on the basement approximately the first part of March, and that's at that point we had about 8 months to complete construction of the house so that it could be photographed for one of the trade magazines.
Oh, my heavens. I can't believe it. We're going to take a break on Home Innovations. When we come back, let's talk about what you really created in this home. Be right back after a short break. Welcome back, everybody, to Home Innovations. I'm Elaine Mick. Dominic Andrews is with me in the studio, and on the line from Orlando, Florida, we have Paul and Stephen Guidas, who are actually the two main, owners of PSG Construction, Inc. And let me see, P stands for Paul, right?
Yes, correct.
That means S must stand for Stephen.
Yes, that's correct.
And you two are brothers?
Yes, we are.
And I know who's older.
By a couple years is all.
Oh, well, I know, but you're the one who said that... that you were able to, is this Paul that's talking to me?
Yes.
Okay, Paul, you're the older, right?
That's correct.
And you said you could read the numbers on the tape, but Stephen couldn't, so he could just hold the tape when you were about 4 and 6 years old?
Actually, 6 and 8.
And I
probably respectfully started working together.
Isn't that something? And your dad was in construction as well?
Yes, he was.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. Well, we're looking at this wonderful home, and while we were taking our little break, we went on to, I hope everyone listening can do the same thing, psgconstruction.com. We have a link right from Home Innovations. And this wonderful idea, when you go on to the progress photos, you can actually go all the way back in the date time.
There's a little pull down at the top, yeah, with dates.
And see some of the things that we've been talking about.
I'm looking at the steel beams under the bottom of the house now. That's really cool.
Moving of the house and building the basement, and that was quite something. So now we've got this house that's sitting, and as Don had said to me, gee, you know, what you see now with what the after pictures.
Well, you stripped all of the siding off the...
a lot.
All that's left is the frame of the house.
That's right. That's when once we started getting into the home, there wasn't a whole lot of usable materials on the outside. A lot of the siding was rotted, the windows were rotted, and then in terms of the interior, the floor plan was just not conducive to current modern type of living.
Well, I got to tell you, the floor plan you guys came up with, and I know you have a wonderful architect that worked with you.
Yes, Lucia Kasich and Monday, residential designers here in Orlando.
Yeah, she did a wonderful job, and of course, takes someone like yourself to be able to put it together. So as we go through the house, again, 7,000 became 7,000 plus?
Correct. And then also on one of the parts of the website, it shows the floor plans, and if you go to the floor plans, it'll dissect that all of that living space and show you how we got to the 7,100 square feet of living space. So it shows how many square feet of living space is on each particular area and level.
And a cool basement. I love that basement.
Well, I was going to say.
Full gym room in the basement and everything.
The whole house is just absolutely wonderful. And by the way, you are selling it, I understand.
That's right. We're selling it. We're asking $3.15 million for the home.
And in that particular section of Orlando, I mean, that's a highly desirable area to live.
It is. It's one block off of Lake Eola, which is in the center of the downtown area. Lake Eola is, with a fountain in the middle, is sort of the central part of downtown. So it's very favorable in terms of just walking from your house to downtown restaurants and entertainment areas.
Well, I like the fact that you had a number of bedrooms, all of which have a separate bathroom.
Right, and that was one of the things that we challenged our design team with. Originally, the second floor, the original design that they came up with, had two bathrooms, one for the master bedroom and then one bathroom for the other two bedrooms. And we felt that for a house of this price point, we should have a separate bathroom for each bedroom. And so they were able to very creatively find some space in the existing part of the house to make that happen.
Well, you also, when you walk in, it's very nice because you can walk in and you have, a library right there. Why don't you describe a few of the floors? Let's just kind of walk through, and we can actually, listeners, you can go ahead and go online and you can kind of see some of these things yourself.
Yeah, when you walk in, the foyer is approximately 6 feet wide. The hallways down the middle of the house are 6 feet wide, and we did that to, one, open up the house and make it feel very open and inviting, and also to make it more comfortable for the builder's show as the folks walk through it and view the house. But we have a formal dining room to the left as you walk in, and a library study to the right. And in those rooms, And then up through the stairwells, we have wood wainscoting that we built on site and fabricated on site and installed. And that front section is meant to feel a little bit more of the 1909 period.
Right.
And then as we progress farther into the house, we get a little bit more comfortable with some hints of some contemporary current day living.
But you pulled it together and you pulled it off very well. I mean, because you move from there into the kitchen in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And the kitchen is beautiful.
Actually. Yeah, the kitchen is all Merillat cabinets and Whirlpool and KitchenAid appliances. We have a laundry chute that starts at the second floor with a door in the Merillat cabinet with a chute that also goes down into the basement. And then that kitchen is open to the family room, which then overlooks the courtyard. So as you're standing in the foyer, you can look straight through the entire house. It's not a real wide house because, as we mentioned, we're about a 50. Paul, was that a 50-foot wide lot?
Yes, lot's 50 feet wide. The original house was 30 feet wide by 40 feet deep.
Okay. Okay.
And as you continue in the house, one of the other things we've got on there on the first floor, you've got a parent suite.
That's just what I loved.
Yeah, and that's really off. That's handicapped accessible. It's got the roll-in shower there, the wider doors.
It's
for
fantastic.
That. And then also the house has an elevator that goes down to the basement.
And that's something that I thought for Elaine, man, this is my house. I can go on that elevator, push 1, 2, 3, and be up and down in no time at all.
Right.
Well, listen, guys, you can hear the music. We're going to be taking a quick break on Home Innovations. Listeners, go online, find out this website, psgconstruction.com, or on our link. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about it because there's much, much more to learn. So don't go away. Be right back after the news. Welcome back, everybody, to Home Innovations. I'm Elaine Mick. Don McAndrews is with me. And on the line, we have Paul and Stephen Guidas, who are part of PSG Construction Company. And as a matter of fact, they own it because P stands for Paul and S stands for Stephen. And they built the Renewed American Home. I should say built. You redid, but you might as well say built. Right, guys?
Pretty much. It was restoration.
Yeah, restoration. I'll tell you. Would you do it again? Let me ask you that. At least you've learned something, but would you want to do that again?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I think
would.
It was a fantastic experience, and we've learned so much from it. I think it would be much easier the second time around. What would you think, Paul?
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was when we were presented the idea, I think Stephen and I immediately, we didn't even give it any thought. We just said, yes, let's do it, because we knew the opportunity would really be good and worth it for us.
Well, that's good. And, of course, you've gotten some recognition. Hey, look who's talking about you, Lane.
Right, absolutely.
Well, we're talking about this beautiful, beautiful home that you've taken from this older home that was going to be torn down. You had to move it, and you put it on the site, and now you've added to it and developed it and made it into a home that is now being sold. If I'm sure someone's going to come along and say for sure, I want it for about $3 million. So nothing shabby there. But I like some of the things. We're going through the various floors, and you were talking about the idea of while you kept to the period, I mean, the wainscoting and so on is just absolutely gorgeous. But you also do one thing which I love, and that's the multi-generational feeling when you're there. I mean, I feel like any age can live there.
Yeah, originally we were trying to design the home for a particular target market. And I think that what happened as a result of everything that we did during the whole process, which a lot of the things were more a plan as you go, I think we've made a house that is appropriate or attractive to several different buying groups. I mean, it could be an empty nester where there's no kids living in the house. It could be a family living in the house that maybe has a grandparent or a parent living in the house with them. So we're pretty happy about how that turned out.
And you know what else? Think about where you're located, Orlando, and what happens with people from this cold area that's supposed to, like, it's supposed to snow here, like, Tuesday. And, this little lady says, gee, I wish I was back in Orlando.
Right. I think it would make a great second home for a
it would.
Someone that lives, let's say, in Virginia, maybe.
Yeah, whatever, you know. Or just...
Did you see a cloud in the sky while you were down here last week?
I tried hard.
Blue skies all week.
It was gorgeous.
Beautiful temperature. Yeah.
I was so fortunate to be there then. But I'm saying that even like your garage, which if you go into that, it's hardly a garage, guys. Come on, let's face it. If you go into Elaine's garage, listeners, and you see what they did in this garage with it, looks like a furnished apartment where you pull your car in.
Well, the Gladiator garage system is really neat. It looks like kitchen cabinets,
yeah.
But it's the stainless steel panels and even the refrigerator. It's called a Gladiator chillerator. It's by Whirlpool,
yeah.
And it fits right in with the garage.
Yeah.
And then the garage floor is epoxy.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. But above it, you have that full apartment.
Yes, and there's a full apartment above it with a full kitchen. I mean, it's got a refrigerator, dishwasher drawers, a cooktop, a full bathroom, a washer and dryer. So it could be an apartment or maybe a place for an office or something like that.
No, it's, I mean, it's beautiful. And then outside, I mean, we're already outside. I should be going down to some of the other levels that you have, but you have so many levels in that house right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have so many covered areas that if you enjoy sitting out in the beautiful Orlando sun or whatever you want to call it, it's available to you.
Yeah, the outdoor living area is something that's really needed. It kind of bridges between the garage and the main house with a brick courtyard in between that acts as the driveway as well. But that we've done a lot of entertaining since we finished the house prior to the show and during the show, and a lot of folks end up in that outdoor living area and in the courtyard because it's got a fireplace and also a flat screen TV above the fireplace. And then in the summer, if you need the screens, the roll-down screens that are actually built up inside the header, and they automatically, with a remote control, will be drawn down to the ground. They're the phantom
I love those. I saw them a couple of years ago when I was at one of the New American Homes, and I saw them recently in yours and others. That's great. And you don't even know they're down. That's what I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back inside. I'm going to go downstairs now.
That's our favorite. I think, Paul, isn't that our favorite space?
Yeah, that by far is the favorite part of the house for me, and I think Stephen as well. As you go down there, the very first thing you see at the bottom of the stairs is a 1,600-bottle wine cellar.
Yeah.
But you know what, guys? You didn't leave space for my boxes.
What kind of boxes?
My box wine.
The box wine.
Her wine has a born-on date.
Well, the refrigerator is big enough to put the box wine
in
the
refrigerator. Oh, okay. I looked at the dates on those bottles. They all said they were real old.
Yeah.
No, actually, seriously, that is a beautiful, beautiful wine cellar.
Yeah, as Paul said, it holds about 1,600 bottles of wine, and it's a completely self-contained room. We have it's completely insulated, all of the walls and the ceiling, and then it's got a vapor barrier around it. So, and then we've got a glass door with two fixed glass panels that are insulated, solid wood mahogany doors. So everything acts as its own refrigerant unit. It's got its own refrigerant unit, actually. It's a split air conditioning system, and you can control that temperature whatever you want. Right now, we're keeping it at about 64 degrees.
Well, I just thought, I mean, you even have a little bench in there, a little table. You can stand around, do your sipping, you know.
Yeah. You can open up a bottle of wine and do some wine tasting and then take the wine upstairs for dinner.
Exactly. Through the elevator, using the elevator.
Absolutely.
Because you've sipped a little too much to walk the stairs.
Right. Right.
Now, you know what? The other thing is, of course, you got the laundry room. You got the exercise room. You also have a safe room.
Right. We, because of the hurricanes in Florida and most recently, unfortunately, some tornadoes that we've been getting, we made one room, which is about 10 feet by 8 feet, all in concrete. The walls surrounding that room are concrete block filled solid with poured concrete, and then there's a concrete ceiling that we poured in place. So, and it's got a steel door. So, and then it doubles as a pantry for additional food that you might have in the house.
I felt it was so appropriate because right next door you've got your wine. You grab that. You've got your food in there. You shut the door.
Right.
You're good for a while.
You're good.
And on top of that, if the power goes off, the Eaton generator will kick on.
See?
We have a gas. I don't know if you saw that while you were out there, but
no,
we have a natural gas fired generator that will take care of all of your air conditioning and the lighting in the main parts of the house.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And now the other room that was off there, I mean, I think it was Cam who was with me, said, you know, this reminds me of the Biltmore Estates, I guess, because you have a long hallway downstairs, the lowest level, and all these rooms. And then you end at what you call your, what, flex room?
The flex space.
Flex space.
And that's basically a downstairs entertainment area. And it's got its own little kitchen. We've got essentially four kitchens in the entire house. One on each level of the main house and then one in the outside living area upstairs. But this has, a sink, an ice maker, refrigerator, and dishwasher drawers. Again, all by the Whirlpool Corporation. And then it's got a full bathroom. Your elevator is in that room. And then you've got some closets. That particular room downstairs, if you wanted to close it off, could function as its own independent apartment if you wanted it to.
You almost have it that way, don't you?
And then you got an exercise room for all the eating you did in those four kitchens to work that off.
No,
yeah,
you...
the exercise room was real neat also.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
And that's towards the front of the house. We've got mirrors on each side of the wall and exercise equipment supplied by Gym Source.
And you know what? Those mirrors are bad. I'll tell you, when you look at them, they make you look fat.
That gives you incentive to work out.
Yeah, that's
the idea.
Gives you some incentive, right?
No, I'm
but,
okay.
But, you know, that room is kind of dimly lit, so you don't know.
Yeah, there you go. By candles.
Right.
No, it was a wonderful room. I told my hubby, I came back and I said, you've got to see this. I said, I love the mirrors. He said, why do I want to see my fat body working out?
For some reason, I don't know. We just, you know, you associate, if you're going to have an exercise room or a gym, you've got to have a mirror.
Got to have a mirror. That's what I said.
The interior designer decided that that's what we needed, so
yeah.
We did it.
Well, I'm trying to convince him. I think it looks nice. It makes the space look larger, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go back. You talked about all the kitchens, but we forgot to go to the master bedroom area, which is on the top floor.
Correct. Yeah, second floor. Paul, I don't know if you want to jump in and maybe talk about that upstairs on the second
floor.
Yeah,
you've got to, you know, as you come out of the elevator, you're right there in front of the master bedroom as well. Well, first, as you go up to the stairs again, from the top of the stairs, you've got the two bedrooms on the front part of the house. And then as you go down a long hall, you've got a morning kitchen as you go back into the master bedroom.
Now, the morning kitchen is bigger than some people's regular kitchens, guys.
Yeah, that was really a nice use of space that we were able to put all the cabinets. You've got the laundry chute that's built into there. And, again, you've got the sink. There's instant hot water for the morning to make your instant coffee if you wish. And there was a microwave there, the refrigerator, the dishwasher as well. Then you go into the master bedroom. Then leading into the master bath there, you've got a corner fireplace, a clawfoot tub with a small flat-screen TV above that as well.
I'll tell you, and you know what? I love some of the detailing, even on the tiles.
Yeah, the dowel tile was really neat. And that's what's fun about doing these show homes is you're working with the absolute latest and greatest product that's available out there. It's sort of a diamond-shaped tile with these little round dots that are half-round, and it kind of gives a texture to the whole wall. We've got some photographs of that, I believe, also on the website.
Yeah, I know that when I was going through, I was taking pictures of, you know, some of the details. Now, I do know that they do often, the manufacturers are chosen to, you know, go ahead and donate, if you will, some of their products so they can be shown. But it just the concepts that they present give you so much to think about, you know, and I loved it. Now, I want to go outside because we're, you know, this show goes by too quickly. When we look at the outside, and I want to think about, you've got the Green Star, you've got the Energy Florida Green Building,
the Florida Green Building Coalition.
Okay.
We are certified green.
And I noticed that you use two different types of insulation. I want to get to some of the nitty-gritty because we always do this. We look at the beauty of the house without realizing the real thing is how well built is it.
Right. On some of the green products, when you talk about insulation, we actually needed to use two products because of the construction techniques we were using.
Yeah.
On the ceilings, we use the isonine product, and that's a spray foam.
Yes.
And that expands to the thickness of the rafters, and in this case, that was 8 inches. And in some areas, we had to take the drywall wallboard right to the ceiling so we didn't have any airspace. And so the isonine is a very good application for that type of a situation. In our vertical walls on the exterior of the house, and by the way, we also use the isonine between the first and second floor and the basement and the first floor.
Oh, okay.
And Elaine, I don't know if you notice when you're walking around the house on all the hardwood floors, you just don't hear a lot of noise.
You don't hear the click, click. You don't hear it. No.
Yeah, and that isonine just really deadens that sound, does a great job.
That's interesting.
Now, on the exterior vertical walls, we use what's called the ATS system by Guardian Building Products, and that's a very thin layer of foam sprayed onto the sheathing from the inside, maybe about a quarter of an inch, and then a bat insulation installed on top of that.
Oh,
and
okay.
So that the spray foam prevents any kind of draft from coming in, and then the bat insulation gives you the bulk of your R value.
So it must be, I mean, so it is pretty soundproof and no concern with air leakage.
Right. And then in terms of soundproof also, we've got the Anderson Woodwright insulated panel, insulated glass windows. And those Anderson windows not only look historically correct, but because of the insulation of the glass and the way that they're built, they're also very sound and airtight, and that helps the to get us points for a greenhouse.
Well, I noticed that it says your total points for just Category 1 were, 150? Looks like you did pretty well, in other words.
We got 260 points overall for the entire house. I'd have to look at the... And also, actually, that is on... Did you get that off the website?
Yes.
Yeah, we've got that.
There's I cannot a tell a lie.
Well, no, it's good information for anybody that wants to begin to learn how to make their house more green and more energy efficient. This particular sheet gives a great checklist of the different things that they can do to earn that kind of... certification.
I was amazed because I had not seen this before. That's why I downloaded it. I said, gee, this is really a good thing just for everybody to take a look at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing also, you have shingles that are different. And
yes.
You're going to start, and we're going to take a break. Well, just name them, and then we're going to come back and talk about them.
They are Millennium tiles.
Stainless
yep.
steel.
Stainless steel tiles, yes.
Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about those. They were beautiful.
Yeah.
Listeners, we'll be right back after a short break on Home Innovations. We're going to continue and wrap up with my wonderful guests, Paul and Stephen Guidas. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody, to the end of Home
Innovations.
This went
so fast today.
Oh, I know. The end today, at least.
Yeah.
This is Elaine Mick, by the way. I hope you didn't just join us. And Don McAndrews is with me. And Paul and Stephen Guidas from PSG Construction are with us. They are the ones that did the renewed American home. We've been talking about it, and you can go online and you can check out some of the before and after pictures. They're just marvelous.
Yeah, quickly, homeinnovations.com, schedule button, go to today's program. There's a link. If you go down to the bottom of their front page of their website on the lower left, you'll see a link to all the pictures of this wonderful project.
Yeah, you did a great job,
yeah,
guys.
It's neat.
But I wanted to talk about, we've been talking about, you know, the home itself and lots of beautiful pictures. But the nitty gritty, we've talked about the insulation and so on. But let's go now back to the roofing. That is something I'd never seen or heard of.
It was really a neat opportunity that we had. Originally, our concept drawings showed a triangular fiberglass shingle.
Okay.
And we then found an opportunity with this metal shingle. It's actually a stainless steel roof tile by Millennium Tiles. And each one of those tiles is an individual tile. And it just really, I think, fits the period of the house very, very well. Because back in the turn of the century, some of the homes had the metal tiles.
Well, now, how did you find installing it? I mean, you know, I'm used to standing seam tile metal roof.
Right. Paul, do you want to talk about some of the challenges that you guys had?
Yeah, I'm sure you had some.
It was a very labor intense process, and especially the roof was going on in the middle of the summer.
Ooh.
We were putting the roof on, I think, June and July.
Oh.
So one of the challenges we had is that, you know, we'd have dew early in the morning, so, you know, you couldn't work super early in the morning, and then the roof would heat up by mid afternoon. So the time period they could work was maybe only about 4 to 6 hours a day on the roof there. And it just took a lot of extra labor and time to put the roof up. But I think as you can see, the end result is really worth it.
What kind of lifetime do they? What's the span of?
It'd have to be forever.
I can't see that roof ever failing because it's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stainless steel.
Right.
They're individual tiles. I think that it's got. I mean, it's a lifetime.
The fasteners would be the only thing that would fail. They'd fail before the shingles would.
Possibly,
yeah.
And the other neat thing about it really is it does reflect the heat off of the house, so it actually makes the house cooler because it's reflecting that heat away from the house.
Energy
That's what
efficient.
I wondered. Yeah. I wondered about that because it is, absolutely.
And what kind of fasteners did you use on it?
That was just use a nail on that.
A nail, okay.
Yep.
Now, I know that you have to meet all the standards now, the new codes for hurricanes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of just a couple of basic things that you had to upgrade to make sure you did that in Florida?
On this particular house, I think really just tying it down is the main concern.
Okay. In other words, tying the roof down, really. Do you have a particular way you do that?
It's usually we use a Simpson strong tie fastener, and
okay.
really it's tied all the way from the basement walls to the very...
So you do plug it into the basement, okay.
Yeah.
That's right, because most of the homes down there don't have it. They have a slab.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
The outdoor living area does have a concrete slab, but embedded into the concrete are fasteners that then strap to your vertical pieces, and then basically it's tied from the bottom to the top in every particular part of the building.
Because I know that's one of the things they're really pushing, you know, so your roof doesn't come off.
Absolutely. No. Yeah, the whole house was completely retrofitted and brought up to current standards in every part of the code book.
If you were to leave the listeners with a message, what would that be?
I think first, seeing how it's 62 degrees down here right now, 25 degrees in Washington, D.C., if you're looking for a second home, this is the place to relocate or use it as a second winter home, winter getaway.
I'll tell you, it is. I've been there. I can attest to that.
Snowbirds take notice.
Yeah. I try to convince my hubby, come on, Dave, let's go. What about you, Steve?
Well, I would just say that no matter what shape your house is in and no matter what year it was built, you've got opportunities to improve the house and to bring it up to a current standard and an energy efficient standard as well. So
you proved it with this job, man.
So there's all kinds of ideas I think you can take from what we did here, and it doesn't have to be on this scale. You can do bits and pieces, and that's what I'd like some of your listeners to take into consideration.
And that's why I appreciate the fact that you put the Florida Green Building Coalition checklist, the standard checklist, on, because I think listeners, you can go ahead and you can look at that, and you can look at some of the things they did in addition to what we've just talked about, the lighting and the other elements that really all add up to being green. Hey, Gus, guess who we're going to have on next week?
Who's that?
We're going to have Ed Binkley, and hopefully he's going to get Carmen Dominguez to talk.
Oh, good.
And see, we'll verify what you said. See what I mean?
We've had a great relationship with the New American Home team.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, she's the current president of the Home Builders Association.
I know that.
Here in Metro Orlando.
Oh, thanks. Thanks again, guys, for taking the time. And I'd like to thank all the listeners for taking the time today. Remember, I want you to remember who helps me stay on the air, and that's Cabinet Discounters. Go to cabinetdiscounters.com, 1-800-THE-DREAM. They've got 6 stores in the area. They'd love to have you visit, as well as if you're interested in a career and have experience, give us a buzz or send us your resume.
Check out the website.
Thanks for listening.